Broadcasting around the world on international shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I'm your host tonight, Matt Aaron. I bid you good evening, good morning, wherever you may be in our universe. We're going to take a deep dive tonight into what I would consider to be UFO history, current UFOs, unidentified flying objects, alien races, the whole bit. We're going to do a deep dive tonight. Glenn Steckling is our guest. Glenn, welcome to the program. And before we get too deep into this, how long have you been involved in some sort of alien UFO style research?
I have been involved over half a century. And my parents longer than that. And the foundation upon which we represent even longer than that, nearly a century. So we have extensive background and experience, both officially and collectively concerning this particular subject. So we have been the longest, probably the longest surviving UFO research and collection institution that has been around since 1965. We have been when we organized. So we represent a great deal of material and a great deal of work around the globe.
So Glenn, I would definitely say you've been doing this probably longer than I've been alive, and I tip my hat to you, sir. The interesting thing is I always heard my father talk about George Adamski, and hear George Adamski speak years ago, and he's always been fascinated because Adamski said things that came to pass and were true when the astronauts went in space and different things that a lot of people, I guess, just don't realize how right this guy was, I guess would be the way to put it. So let's just say right now, on different shows and different episodes, we've gone really deep into this rabbit hole. But if you're a newcomer to this rabbit hole, and you're a newcomer to UFOs and all the different things that UFOs and so on offer, what would you say, and where would you want to start to introduce facts, information to these people, and so on?
I would say that the authenticity of the earlier information that came out of the 40s and 50s and 60s is paramount. Because we have gone through a period here recently in the last, shall we say, 25 years, where this subject has been distorted, propagandized, misinformation, both externally, but more problematic internally within the growing confusionary state of the UFO community as it has evolved. So I am writing a new book here, and hopefully it'll be out by spring of next year, which will give some historical background to give the reader and the interested people some kind of a foundation to look back on. For instance, when we hear the UFO skeptics and critics and shall we say, organized academia attack the UFO phenomena. And let us start right now and say something quite clearly. UFO means unidentified flying object. It does not mean extraterrestrial spacecraft. There is a difference. And this term has been confused, confusionary, in order to people to try to correlate the two. So, for instance, when you are seeing reports of square-shaped objects or triangular-shaped objects, These are our own research and development projects. These are not extraterrestrial aircraft. When people are describing meteorological formations like lenticular clouds stacked like pancakes over mountains and things like that, just because they are saucer-shaped doesn't mean they're flying saucers. And so there is a great deal of misidentification involved. Now, the other side of that coin is there is absolutely no doubt that we have been visited by extraterrestrial intelligence for thousands of years.
Say that again.
There is no doubt. And the data completely supports that we have been visited by extraterrestrial intelligence for thousands of years. If you look back historically, and let's just be gracious and go back only 4,000 or 5,000 years, the Chinese have talked about it, flying chariots, doing aerial surveys from great altitudes, showing and depicting the ground geographically that can only be done from thousands and thousands of feet in the air. The Egyptians, the Polynesians, the Tibetans, the Mayans, the Greeks. It is just so much information, literally stacks and stacks and volumes of information. That's just from ancient times. And then you come into more recent times where you have the photographs. We have photographs of UFOs in the public domain that go back to 1918, just over the European continent.
Oh, my.
Right? And so then you have photographs of these that are in films. George Adamski took photographs, telescopic photographs, and motion picture photographs that are unparalleled. In fact, Colonel Freeman at the Pentagon, when he viewed them, said they were best he had seen in civilian hands. That was in 1967. But certainly not Adamski is the only one. I mean, we know that these crafts have been photographed in formation. I have an extensive archive of these earlier years that shows them printed in the newspaper, flying in formation, flying alongside our missile testing out of the Montana and Wyoming area. And the wave of UFO sightings, people always say, well, if they're here, how come they don't show themselves or they don't come in greater numbers? They were reported by the hundreds flying over the European continent in the 1950s, over London, over France and Paris, over Lisbon. They were photographed in formation maneuvering over the Vatican for 3 straight days. And many other countries around the globe, practically everyone. So there's no one that has any reasonable amount of logical thinking or rational experience that can deny this.
So Glenn, you're going over this, and the evidence is overwhelming of just how much
right
is here, even in ancient history. Okay. So, my gosh. I mean, trying to figure out even where to start on, like, what races, who are driving these craft? Have they visited? Just all of it. Well, I think we're going to keep talking about this. We're going to get those questions up here after the break. 1-833-880-9899 is the number. That's 1-833-880-9899 if you want to join us. Glenn Steckling is our guest. And we'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Wow. Just even recent history is 5,000 years, as Glenn said. We've had aliens here on the planet Earth. I've often wondered if the aliens drive by Earth, do they lock their windows when they drive by? That's a question I'd have to ask Glenn. So, Glenn, when you are talking about this, and you're talking about flying saucers and different things, and you're saying that there's even craft that come from Earth that's here. I got to ask a crazy question. You're looking at the amount of planets that are out there. You look at the possibility of planets that could have life. You look at the planets that you look at the mathematical equation that a lot of these guys have been talking about for years. And as you go through that, the chances of life are great. At the same time, there is a situation where we have officially, as I use my quotation fingers, have not actually seen life. What races, what different kind of beings? I mean, I hear these people talk about the reptilians, the grays, the, you know, even aliens that look like praying mantises.
Well, let's get this straight right now. The UFO subject is rife with a bunch of nonsense. It is reverberated because people are not being held accountable for what they say, what they report, nor to provide proof or foundation for what they claim. And so consequently, imagination and science fiction distortion runs rampant. Let me make this perfectly clear, as our dear friend Richard Nixon used to say. There are four types of extraterrestrial intelligence: human, humanoid, and their support structure, which are robotics and androids. There are no reptiles that travel in spaceships, no crustaceans, no praying mantis, no super intelligent Bigfoot. This is all nothing more than the concoction of overzealous imagination and wishful thinking. It's that simple. If you understand the basic principles of life, the biochemical constructs of life, like Dr. Cyril Panampura, who used to run the chemical laboratory in Maryland and wrote an excellent book called The Principles of Life. You understand that the amino acids, the elements, the molecules, all that forms the basic construct of life comes from outer space. The organic materials surround us as we travel through space, as we go 17,000 miles an hour and around the sun at 500,000 miles, and that goes at another 1,000,000 miles around the galaxy and so on and so forth. All of space is in motion, just like if you look at the ocean, all the currents, the bodies of water, they're all in motion. But the principles and the organic matter of life rains down throughout the cosmos uniformly, no matter where you go, on all the planets, all the celestial bodies, about 2 tons a day, about, on this planet alone. So as we travel through space, we stream this material out of our atmosphere behind us, sort of like a trail of a comet. And as we go through our elliptical orbits around the sun, this same material comes off the other planets. That's why in the Antarctica you find elements and materials, meteorites from Mars and other places we found around the globe. So it intermixes with us. We intermix with them. It is one common melting pot. There are certain principles of the construct of life that are the same regardless which you go. The human genome is as common as, I don't know what to say, a molecule of air or a molecule of water, which exists throughout space and cosmos as well. And so when you understand these fundamentals, you know automatically that the rest of these stories, or shall we call fantasies, are holding absolutely no credence. I participated in a symposium of some very well-renowned scientists out here in the Pacific Southwest over a period of several days, three-day weekend, in which we discussed these type of things. And the lead scientists with over 40 years experience, and I do not jeopardize these people's reputations and anonymity because what is discussed is fine to discuss, but I don't believe that they should be hounded for what they say. He made it very clear that the construct of life is universal, that the evolution of life and the human participation is universal, and that the ability to construct microchips and computers and spaceships and to travel space, which is still thousands of years ahead of our technology and understanding, cannot be done by a lobster crawling out of the water. So, but people don't want to see this. They don't want to understand that. They want to watch Star Wars, and they want to see the bar scene in which you see creatures. And I just saw it the other night, you know, with four eyes and three arms and funny shaped heads and everything else that your imagination can possibly come up with. Not understanding that this is nothing more than a marketing tool to sell you a program. It has nothing to do with science fact. And once you peel that away, you start getting into the, shall we say, the meat and potatoes of this subject. My father and mother went to, by invitation, to NASA Goddard Space Flight Center to show them the UFO films. And the one my father took in 66 over Europe of a fleet of UFOs traveling alongside the train that was shown on German national television as well. And the discussion with these 22 scientists had to do with human beings who are visiting our world, who interact in between us. They don't eat you. They don't attack you. They don't have sex with you. This is just absolute garbage. And there's no reason why the very reason why there is such confusion in this field is because of these distortions. This keeps you away from the true message and the true advantages of this interaction with other intelligences. Because the interaction with these intelligence beings will only elevate the level of prosperity and life and recognition on this world. And our own powers that be don't want this to happen. That's why you have an official disinformation program. It is not so blatant as it used to be, because they found out that it's much easier to let the UFO community trash themselves. They don't have to go in there and deny it anymore.
Sorry, I mean, I'm laughing.
I have to laugh too. Trust me, I've been to these conferences and some of these things, God, for as long as I can remember. And it's just, first of all, it is an extortion of the general public. These days, they want almost $500 for you to go to a conference. And then they try to take more money out of you so that you can go to speakers' workshops and things like that and ask questions. Where in my old days, when you went and you spoke at a conference, you had 2 hours. And you had a time, you could allot yourself time, which I usually did, 30 minutes to 45 minutes, to take questions from the audience and interact with the audience. All that's been taken away because this is nothing but a market money production. And informing and educating the truly inquisitive or shall we say, wondering public has become a byproduct.
Right.
And so this type of extortion, this type of abuse, I find to be sad. There's another word for it, but we have to maintain. So it's sad because, like everything else, it doesn't come down to any progressive thought or progressive action. I'm often asked, why isn't there any clarity that evolves from this. How come that the message we are getting today is the same thing we got 40 years ago?
Because nothing really changed.
Because nothing really changes, and you have the same type of exploitation. And so this is what I am working tenaciously to bring to the forefront of the public so that they can rethink this. Otherwise, we're going to get nowhere. Is there going to be official disclosure? Not a chance in hell. First of all, the individuals who brought about the policy of maintaining the silence or misinformation, some are still alive. A lot of them have passed from the 50s and 60s, but you have some of them that are still around. If you look at the congressional records from the hearings of Professor McDonald, who tried like crazy to get this out in the open in 68 before Congress, some of these names are still recognizable today. And one of them made a statement, and his man is still alive, that the public doesn't deserve to know. It's none of their business. So these are the elected officials that the voting public puts in office. Well, then what do you expect you're going to get?
Well, Glenn, that's a mouthful. 1-833-880-9899. We're going to take a quick break here. Definitely, Glenn believes the cover-up is still there. The current report that the U.S. government just released. Would you say, Glenn, that was about as good as toilet paper?
It's par for the course. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
You get a report that says that, you know, the Navy photographed these things with their jet scrambling in 2004. Well, excuse me, but what date is it now? It's almost 20 years later.
Yeah.
And have you heard anything from that report?
No.
Not a bloody thing.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, we're going to take a quick break. I want to ask you about intelligent design when we come back. Because you mentioned that life is life, and it's out there. The human genome exists in multiple locations. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. 1-833-880-9899. Phone lines are currently full, but we'll try to get to some of you guys here in a minute. Here's the deal, folks. Have you been wondering whether or not if we're going to have a food shortage or something bad's going to happen? Well, if you're in the same boat that I'm in, Valley Food Storage is your friend. You go to radiodisclosure.com, non-GMO, great food. I'm telling you right now, they got the best mac and cheese ever. If the end of the world comes, I'm going to have enough mac and cheese, and it's going to be great. Glenn Steckling is our guest, and we're talking about nothing has really changed. Cover up. Now, I'm going to roll the interview back just a bit here, Glenn, because you said something that has resonated with me that I'm very, very interested in. You said that, how did you say this? You said that the human genome is in multiple locations, that it's all over, I guess I want to say, the galaxy. It's, to use a phrase that a friend of mine uses, it's out there. And I guess I want to ask the question, from your seat to where you're at, do you see intelligent design? Do you see that it's that these beings recognize that there's a higher power? I guess would be the way to ask that question.
Absolutely. And they have described it they themselves. They have been asked, my father asked them, in fact, too, do they believe in God or creative force or creative intelligence? And they said, absolutely. The more you travel through the cosmos, the more you find evidence of that incredible universal intelligence that is responsible for life and existence as we know it. First of all, there's no Big Bang. In fact, I still have the article from the guy who proposed that theory. And when he passed away, he himself said before that was never meant as an explanation as it's used today. It was totally misconstrued out of context. The cosmos exists without beginning and without end. And this is a very difficult concept, especially for most of our academics, because they have to have things in parameters and boxes and things like that. And so they don't like that. That leaves things questionable, and they must have answers. And if they don't have answers, they formulate and postulate the theories in order to come to the conclusions of the answers that they wish to promote. It's like writing your own history and just putting the good parts about yourself and conveniently forgetting the rest. And so, yes, absolutely. You cannot sit in your own backyard and look at the trees and the flowers and the bees and the animals and the birds and not see a magnificent intelligence that has come and put that together. We are so incredibly ignorant of the basic things. We send people to school at a young age, and we brainwash them with absolute garbage. And we do it, and we want to make sure that we do it for a long time, 10, 12 years, and then we'll send you to higher education. And by the time they spit you out the end of it, all you can do is recite what somebody else has thought or said, which they themselves have copied from somebody else. So it's basically just a domino effect.
Nature, they're training drones, but go ahead.
Well, that's true. And so we are unbelievable, sadly ignorant of the very basics of what is important. How are you constructed? I have an excellent book called The Body Electric, which describes the human form and how it functions and the electricity and the neuropath. And most people, they don't want to do that. They want to read, you know, the tabloids. They don't want to enlighten their thinking, God forbid. And so the space people or our space visitors, they start educating their young with truisms, not suppositions, not theories. And if they want to know something, they go and see it. So, for instance, if you want to know about dinosaurs, you don't have to go dig in the backyard and look for bones. You go into a spacecraft and you fly to a solar system, which is still young and early in its development, and you then fly through the planets and the atmosphere, and you will see life at that particular stage developing. You see it firsthand. You observe it firsthand. So there's a huge difference between their educational system and ours. It would be like if you sat in your office and you talked about stuff that was going on the other side of the world, but you've never been there. So really, you have no frame of reference. All you have is, you know, what comes to your mind. They don't live like that. They experience life in its actuality and not in its supposition. And that's all we do is suppose. We operate on this world. If you think about this for a while, and I ask all of you to think about this, what is the most underlying thought that permeates through your existence from birth to death? And if you think about it, it is the manipulation of fear and uncertainty, because that keeps you imbalanced. You're worried about how you're going to grow up. Will you graduate? Will you get a decent job? What will your income be? Will your spouse or significant other like you? Will you make enough money to retire comfortably? Will the government steal it from you because they left spending your money? And nobody ever says, well, wait a minute, the government doesn't produce money. All they do is spend your money. They take yours. And so there is this permeant fear that saturates all of us, and that is being manipulated so that we will be conducive to direction as they see fit. Because then you run. Somebody says, I look at the market. Everybody says, well, the stock market is based upon perception. And so somebody out there that you well know or hear about says, well, the market's going to take a dive, holy moly. And then there's this huge sell-off because people are scared to death they'll lose what they have. And then the market does dive, and then you get the consequences of that, except for the people who have promoted that concept or are waiting to buy low and make a whole lot of money and go on with their agenda. So we have to learn to peel away this pervasive fear that is being constantly projected and let it go, because otherwise it will totally dominate our thinking and our actions.
So Glenn, the space people, you've said that your family had conversations with them, correct?
That's correct.
What is the biggest message that they're trying to tell Earth?
There are several. First of all, they came in great numbers during the 40s and 50s. And they came to say, hey, look into the skies. Look, we are here. If we're capable of it, you're capable of it. And in a way, that did help, because we had the advent of rocketry and satellites, and eventually the space program, both the Russians and Sputnik 57, and then NASA in 58. And so our ability to recognize this and develop contact was meant to elevate our sociological development. So they came basically to say, hey, we're here. Are you interested? And many places weren't interested. Many governments were not interested. And internally, we have put the kibosh on that as well. As I said in earlier programs, the government, after the formation flying over the nation's capital, in formation, in which the picture shows the UFO's information over the nation's capital on the front page newspapers, and after the military scrambled Lockheed shooting stars to chase them and then were unable to catch them, after that, they were considering going public. But the military shut the program down due to their fears of national defense and all kinds of other things. That was Hoyt Vandenberg, Air Force Chief of Staff, who was responsible for that. But at one point, there were, 120-some million leaflets printed that were supposed to go out to every citizen, and that was nixed. And so, you know, there have been knocks at the door. The other thing that they have come is they have come to elevate our way of thinking. In other words, we run an incredibly dysfunctional society. And we have made this the cornerstone of development. And it's very, very simple. We're all human beings, and we should treat each other like that. And we should allow ourselves the opportunities for all of us to develop into something better. It's not a giveaway program. You have to earn it. They don't believe in coming and just saying, here you go, everything's for free. No. That doesn't work. And they realize that, because there's an old saying that you can take the unenlightened out of the slum and put them in a castle, but unless you show them a better way to live, pretty soon that castle will be a slum as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have this sense of entitlement that is not going to get us anywhere.
Well, and, I think the sense of entitlement is all over our globe today, the America society. I love the USA, but our entitlement is just... 1-833-880-9899 is the number. Glenn Steckling is our guest. I want to know more about George Adamski when we come back. Who was this guy? This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. It's interesting that, Glenn, you would bring up the word entitlement. It's been something that's definitely been on my mind as of recent. It seems like it's, yeah, as society, it seems that that keeps getting worse and worse. But that's not the subject we're talking about, but I definitely agree on that. So, Glenn, who is George Adamski? I know that may be a very basic and simple question, but a lot of people may not know who George Adamski was.
Well, actually, it's a very large and complicated question. But to put it into contract wording, Adamski was a man who had been educated to the principles of creation and life. And he believed that those manifested, and he proved to himself that they manifested throughout the cosmos.
Now I gotta stop you for a second. Who educated him?
He was, he spent a certain amount of time in a very secluded school that that supported these principles and provided education into the wider vision of what was going on versus our standard education system, and this, it was not in this country, and so these were beginning the foundation of who he would become and the role he would step into play. And then during the 1930s, he ran a school in California that was dedicated to the promotion of that thought. And one of his students, a woman by the name of Lolita Johnson, gave him his first telescope in 1938. And that was his picture in the telescope were promoted in the Los Angeles Times as well. And the interesting thing is that her son worked for Caltech later on to map the telescope location for the Mount Palomar 200-inch observatory. And so George started taking pictures, and he gave them away freely. He gave them to the government. And not until the aftermath of World War II, when we had finally exhausted our more barbaric traits and emotions, did things start to become more interesting. And George took telescopic shots of these spacecraft. They're in his book, Flying Saucers Have Landed, which was the first book was co-authored by Sir Desmond Leslie. You may recognize the Leslie name, Castle Leslie in Ireland. He was the nephew of Winston Churchill. And
real quick, Glenn, if people are wanting a copy of these books, can they get a copy of them at the AdamskiFoundation.com?
Yes, they can. They can also go on Amazon, and they can go on ABE.com and eBay. My sister takes care of the orders through Amazon, and I take care of the orders through the other. And they can get it directly from us. They're still available in their original format. We sell Inside the Spaceships, which is a combination of Flying Saucers Have Landed and Inside the Spaceships. And for people that are interested, they can go on AdamskiFoundation.com and the materials page, and they can find the books and the prices there. We basically sell them for cost. People can see for themselves the photographs and the articles and the letters and correspondence between well-known people in this field, that George was very, very legitimate. They like to poo-hoo him because, once again, there wasn't as much resistance to human beings visiting us as there is today because we are in love with science fiction fantasy. But what the thing that they attacked George the most for is that he insisted his space contacts came from planets in this solar system. And he said many times, he said, oh, hell, I could have made life easy on myself and just said they come from a distant solar system or galaxy. And nobody could have disproved it or questioned it because we don't have the technology to go there. But he said that's not the truth. And there's one thing that man stood for, diligently for, was the truth. His story never changed. He didn't embellish. And you certainly can't say that of today's UFO personalities. Their stories change and metamorphize like socks. They change all the time. These people run to wherever there's a camera that can give them a spotlight.
So one of the other questions that I wanted to ask is, there is definitely a thing going on with cow mutilations, alien abductions, and all that. Is there certain sects of these aliens that are taking in doing these things that are not good, or are all of the races of humanoid aliens that are out there, are they all good?
Let us say that, first of all, nobody mutilates your cows. And nobody mutilates your livestock. In 67, my father was on the air in Baltimore, and this subject came up, cattle mutilations. And my father said, absolutely not. That's nonsense. You don't take societies and intelligence as 4,000 or 5,000 years ahead of us just by the notion of their ability to travel space alone and say they're going to come up here and carve up your cows. And so the producer of the show said, well, I know one of the ranchers out in Colorado. Let's get him on the phone. I said, great. So they call him up and they ask the farmer, and he said, hell no. He said, it's got nothing to do with aliens. I got people in lab coats out here. We've got laboratories, biological laboratories out here in the American Southwest, Agua Dulce and in Colorado and other places, in which we do experimentation with our lasers. At that time, they were called masers, the precursors. And we, and as we know from the laboratory in Long Island, that we experiment with biologics and viruses on animals. And if you think that's restricted to animals and not human beings, I remind the people the CIA used experimentations in LSD and other drugs on prisoners in jail and things like that, and released some of that into the subway system in New York City. There is no end to the warping of the minds and the atrocities that we do to each other. Aliens don't do that to you. Absolutely nonsense. That the sophistication of their instrumentation is such that they can sit right now in the spaceship orbiting this planet, and they can tune into you in your studio, record your thoughts and your biological functions down to the molecular level. I don't have to come down here and take you and do anything nasty to you. That's garbage. And first of all, as we well know, we even know this from our own rudimentary science, that if you terrify the subject you're studying, you're going to get distorted scientific information and data.
Right.
Chase the chicken around the barnyard before you catch him and do him put him for dinner, and you're going to find out how much that changes that. And so we have... We have been a plethora of people who have made a great deal of money and notoriety on promoting this. And any time that there's some cow found in the field, boy, they go running right away and say, CCC. But we are the ones who are experimenting. In fact, in the new book, which will come out, and I hope people will take a look for it, it's called The UFO Reality, Can Truth Prevail? And I came across research where they in Utah have found a huge amount of mutations after the atomic testing that went downstream into the water system, into the ground, and through the air that caused shall we say, after it was exposed, a huge outcry against our own governments and military services for the death of the animals and pollution and toxification of the environment surrounding it. I mean, we as a general public have little to no idea what is being done in our name and the consequences in that. And that's the problem with this UFO field. Every time there is the slightest abnormality or perception of abnormality, these UFO people start running like there's no tomorrow. Look, look, look. CCC. They are instantaneously ready to jump on that because they want something that'll get their name in the paper and give them attention once again. And this is extremely irresponsible. I mean, terribly irresponsible to do this.
Well, everyone needs to learn to tell the truth and be honest when it comes to this stuff, because it's already hard as it is to get to the truth, to find out how deep the rabbit hole goes, find out like the information, all the things that Glenn, I really appreciate you coming on. The website is AdamskiFoundation.com. Again, the AdamskiFoundation.com. We're going to put that on Radio Disclosure, and we're going to put some links to the books up there so you guys can get them. Next week, we're going to be talking, hopefully, with a guy that claims that he is a time traveler. Hit us up at 1-833-880-9899. Follow the prompts. Leave the messages there. And in addition to that, we want to say thank you to WTWW, the International Shortwave Station, for carrying us, and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure.